That name that's above every name. Father, we gladly bow our knees. We gladly confess with our mouth that You are Lord. That You're the Lord of Long Island. That You're the Lord of Sayville. That You're Lord of New York City. You're the Lord of Connecticut. You're the Lord of New Jersey. You're the Lord, Father, of the United States. And we thank You, Lord, that You are Lord of the universe. And we glorify Your name. We magnify Your name, O God. We lift You up today, Father. We thank You that You are here. For that sweet spirit, Father. We acknowledge, Father, Your presence. And we thank You that You are here, that You're moving, that You're stirring, that You're quickening us, Father. We ask You for that deeper work today, Father, that we wouldn't just have church as usual, another message. But, Father, that You would take a hot coal of fire and that You would place it upon our hearts, that our hearts would burn from within at the sound of Your voice. Lord, let me lose my voice, that I would become the voice of another, the voice of one preparing the way of the Lord. My dependency is upon You, and I yield my vessel over to You, Lord, that You would come and put unction within me. Quicken me, Father. Touch me. Touch our ears, Father, that we would hear, that we would not slumber or sleep, but, Father, that we would be at attention, listening to what the Spirit is saying to the church. Father, I thank You as You hide me behind Your cross that You would receive the glory and the honor. Come in and be our honored guest and stay, habitate with us, Father. We so desire You. We so need You. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have these messages in my heart about the holiness of God, and they're burning in my spirit. It's regarding 2020 and what I'm sensing and feeling. I can't wait to get to Canada January 4th because I'm going to be able to kind of unravel some of these messages that God's been speaking to me about. And I had it all set to give one today. But at 3 o'clock in the morning, knock, 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 and it wasn't Pastor Roy. And the Lord says, that's not the message. I have another message for you. I'm like, Lord, I just went over my notes one last time before I shut my little eyes and went to sleep. He says, do you want the word of the Lord or do you want the word of Steve? So the Lord wouldn't let me sleep from 3 a.m. on. And I sensed something in the atmosphere. And the Lord spoke to me and said that there are some that would be sitting within the congregation that are in a war. They're in a spiritual war. They're in a private battle. And they can't even communicate what it is. And the Lord said, talk about private battles and the victory that He's going to give through Christ. Hallelujah. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. My first night in Long Island, this trip, I started with this verse. We were talking about the overcoming bride. And the Lord showed me that there are some, they feel like they're in that fight right now. They've been fighting. It seems like every single day you wake up, you're in a battle. You're fighting. And some days you're getting pounded on by the enemy. You feel beat up. You feel tired. You feel weary. You feel like you've been warring and warring and warring and warring, and you know Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We know that we're living in the end times and that there's battles against the church. The more that I travel, the more battles I see. In Europe, the battle is fierce. Secularism has traveled throughout Europe like you would not believe. I can't believe some of the cities and things that I have seen in Europe. They're in a battle. But the Church of America is also in a battle. The Canadian church is also in a battle. We've been going into Canada often over the last couple years, sometimes up to once a month, going into Canada and pounding the ground, believing God to dig up the wells of revival in Canada. We're starting out our year in 2020, January 4th, in Northern Ontario, in Canada. The Lord said, start 2020 in Canada. And it's quite amazing the place that I'm going, because I shared it with others. It's like you go to the end of the world and then you make a right, and that's where it is. Dear sister hosts these meetings in the middle of nowhere in her basement. She has a gigantic basement, big windows that look out into the backyard. I went there one time. I showed up there, and literally the place was packed out. Literally, I'm like, where did these people come from? I couldn't even find it with my GPS. But they're hungry. And they're talking about the battle. So there's Christians everywhere we go, and they're in this battle. And they're fighting. And it seems like God is helping them, but yet they're still battling. They're still in this war. And there are some battles that we face that are outward battles against the church. But there's also another kind of battle, and this is the battle I'm going to talk about this morning. It's the battle inside. There's an inward battle. Some of you have been in a private war, and you've tried to communicate it with your spouse or with people that you love, and every time you try to talk about this private battle, you get into tears over it. You can't communicate it. You're sensing something. You go to church, you have a breakthrough, and as soon as you leave the church doors and you go back home, there's that battle. You're still facing it. It could be a battle of temptation. It could be a battle of low self-esteem. It could be a battle of fear, a battle of anxiety, a battle of someone in your life that's lost, and you're worried about them, and you're facing this battle. You're awake at night and you can't sleep, and you're saying, God, you must save my son. You must save my daughter. You're in this battle. You're trying to communicate it, and you're hurting, and you're in pain, and you feel like, is anyone out there listening? Can anyone understand me? And the Lord wants you to know, I understand every tear that you've cried. I understand every pain that's in your heart. I understand this battle, and you're not in this battle alone. I am Jesus, the Son of the living God, and I am the fourth man in the fiery furnace. I'm with you in the battle. I'm the angel in the lion's den. And I will not leave you, and I will not forsake you. You may feel like you're in a battle, that you're fighting the good fight of faith, but I want you to know today that Jesus is with you, and you're going to finish your race, and you're going to keep your faith. There may be some today, you're slumping down because you feel like, I've been fighting so long. Now I'm tired and I'm weary. I can't fight anymore. I hear some saying, I wake up in the morning and I feel like I just don't have the energy to pray. I don't have the energy to fight. There's this thing, there's this blockage that's stopping me from really entering into the fullness of God. And I feel like today that the Lord's going to come and He's going to break through that blockage. What is it that's hindering you from going on with God? What is it, that fear that's hindering you? The Lord says, I want to blast that with my presence today. Hallelujah. The walls are coming down. And there's breakthrough today. or Satan has lied to you and told you that you're not going to make it through this, that you're all alone, that no one understands and no one cares, but the Lord says, I care. Every tear that you've ever shed, I also shed a tear. I can identify with your grief. I can identify with your sorrow. I know the loneliness in your heart. I know the burdens that you carry. And the Lord says, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Private battles. Private battles. A battle so personal that you just can't communicate it with others. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 8 says there's a time of peace and a time of war. You may be in your time of war, but I want you to know that your time of peace is coming. Because you're going to have an encounter with the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Peace is coming. Peace flows like a river. You don't have to be in anxiety. You don't have to be a victim to panic attacks. The Lord says there's some that have had even panic attacks, and the Lord says that's demonic, and I want to cast that away from you today. I never knew what a panic attack was, but several years ago I went through a severe trial, and I began to have panic attacks. The first time in my entire life, it was demonic. Anxiety. The first thing we want to do is run to somebody and tell somebody, and it seems like no one cares, but I want you to know that the great physician Jesus can come. And he can calm any storm that's inside of your heart. That you don't have to be a victim to panic attacks and fear and anxiety. God can bring peace that passes all understanding. He can give you the mind of Christ. Peace like a river can flow through you. You don't have to be a victim to anxiety. We face battles of depression, battles in our finances, battles of lust, health battles, low self-esteem battles. I want you to know that this private battle that you may be facing, that the Lord is going to come. And not only is He going to come, but He's going to blast through that obstacle. I sensed in the middle of the night that the private battle, that the Lord's going to get the last laugh. For Satan has mocked you and laughed at you. Tried to tell you that you're not going to make it, but I want you to know the Lord's going to get the last laugh. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's affliction that brings deep pain. There's silent wars that we don't even tell anybody about. There's some that are in this place, you've been struggling in a silent war, and you haven't even told anybody about it. What is that silent war? What is that personal struggle? The Lord knows all about it. You know what I love to do? I love to talk out loud to the Lord. And if I have a struggle, I tell my friend Jesus all about it. That's therapy. I don't have to open my mouth and tell people that may not understand. Sometimes it's so personal, the only one I can talk to is Jesus Himself. There have been periods in my life I had to talk to Jesus first, the great physician. Oh, there's such healing in talking to your best friend, Jesus. Go into the woods if you have to. Go into your car and make sure the windows are up and shout your heart out to Jesus. Tell Him all about the affliction that you're facing. Tell them all about the private war and how you don't understand. All those questions that you've been asking, why, God? Why would you allow this blockage? Why would you allow this struggle? Why would you allow this? Ask the Lord freely. He can take it. Cast your care upon Him. He cares for you. Oh, I can't tell you the heaviness that has been lifted off of me in times past when I just began to cast my cares upon the Lord, asking Him to come and to take that weight. I didn't have to carry that weight around on me. I could ask Jesus to come and carry it for me. And Him, with His great love and supernatural strength, He came and He carried it for me. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, So be truly glad. There is wondrous joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. There's joy ahead. In this earth, on this earth, in your life, you're going to face some trials. The King James Version says, you're in heaviness. Although you may feel like you're in heaviness, there is wondrous joy ahead of you. I feel such excitement in my spirit because I feel like there's some people that are sitting here and literally the burden's being removed off of you even as we speak. Not by me, but by the Lord Himself. He's lifting. Literally, you're feeling yourself becoming lighter. That burden that you've been carrying, that secret private war, you're starting to feel a lifting right now in your spirit. Why? Because there's wondrous joy ahead. Hallelujah. There's wondrous joy. God has not forgotten you. That blockage, He's going to blast it out today in Jesus' name. I want to see people set free today. That burden to be removed. That private war to end. Those doubts to be calmed. Those fears to subside. For Jesus, the lily of the valley, to personally come to you. I see someone in the spirit even now. They're in a dark valley. They're dressed in black and they're crying tears. There's heaviness upon them. They literally have a cloak of oppression and depression, a spirit of heaviness upon them. And I see the Lord, the lily of the valley, and He's walking into the valley. And He has a beautiful bouquet of flowers and He's giving it to the one who's sitting there in heaviness. And I see Jesus coming and revealing Himself. The lily of the valley, revealing His love, revealing His peace. And I could see that woman who's sitting there and she's becoming alive. She could smell the fragrance of His presence. He's announcing His presence. His train is filling the temple. And spirit and life is being imparted to her. As He speaks to her and tenderly calls her by name. And He's saying, come away with me, my love. He's removing the burdens. And no longer does she have a sunken in face full of despondency and heaviness and fear and anxiety. But now she's lifted and she's dancing. The Shulamite is dancing with the King. And Jesus now, He's dancing. He's dancing a dance of rejoicing over the day that He created you. He's tenderly calling you by name, inviting you into the marriage chamber, drawing you close, that He may sup with you and you with Him, that you may enter into a relationship, a communion, a devotion, and an intimacy that you didn't even know. See, the enemy wants to block you from entering into that intimacy. So he's trying to throw all this stuff at you. Been fighting and been fighting and been fighting, and now you're weak and you're tired. But here comes Jesus, the lily of the valley with His bouquet of flowers. And His presence is there. And He's lifting you and changing you and removing these things that are blocking you from entering into that relationship with Him. What is it that's blocking you? What is that block on the inside? What is that fear? The Lord says, give me that fear and let me replace it with faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So be truly glad. There is wondrous joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. Not forever. You may be in a season of a fight, but there's a time for war and there's a time for peace. I pray peace over you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Peace over your family. Peace over your mind. Peace over your job. Peace over your 2020. Shalom. Hallelujah. Peace from the Prince of Peace. Oh, I feel a lifting. couple times since I've been in Long Island, I felt like preaching. I like to teach, but sometimes I want to preach. And I feel like dancing, Pastor Roy. I'm excited because there's some that have been despondent. They've been discouraged. They've been depressed out of their mind. Wham! The spirit of heaviness is leaving the building in Jesus' name. Leaving your family. Hallelujah. That's the power of God. Hallelujah. Who is that loved one? Who is that one that you've been praying for so long and you feel is never going to change? Power of God's going to come. Hallelujah. Is there any stronghold that he can't break? Is there any person that he can't deliver? Can he not break the chains? Hallelujah. Can he not set you free? Can he not set them free? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Psalms 119, verse 28, he says, my soul melts because of heaviness. This is David. My soul melts because of heaviness. Have you ever been there? Paul put it this way, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. We were crushed and completely overwhelmed, and we thought that we would never live through it. We were crushed and completely overwhelmed. The King James says, we were pressed beyond measure, even to the despairing of our own lives. Have you ever felt crushed? Have you ever felt pressed? Have you ever felt like you were melting because of heaviness? Heaviness is leaving your life today in Jesus' name. The spirit of heaviness is bound in Jesus' name. That cloak, that garment, it's like a big, huge blanket of depression that comes upon you and paralyzes you. It's demonic and it must go in Jesus' name. You're not going to enter your 2020 full of depression and anxiety and fear and going through this fight every single day of your life. God's coming to set you free so that you can start a new decade. Hallelujah. Not just a new year, a new decade. You're not going to have 2020 like it was in 2018 and 2019. You're a victor. Wear your victor's crown. You're an overcoming bride. Stand up and take your rightful place. Stop sitting down and letting the devil beat you up. Stand up and declare with your lips that he is an overcoming king. Hallelujah. That you have power over that anxiety. You have power. This is not the message that I wanted to give today, but it's for somebody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10:12. If you think that you are standing strong, be careful, for you too may fall into the same sin. There are some, when they're on the mountaintop and they see others that are struggling and they have lots of anxiety and fear, and they look down at that person. Look at that person. Never look down at somebody that's in the valley. Take your hand and reach for that person and grab them out of that slimy, horrible pit and say, Jesus, come and rescue. Jesus, come and have your way in that person's life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Psalms chapter 38, let's talk about David and how he felt. David was in a private battle. Listen to his words in Psalms chapter 38, verses 4. I'm going to begin reading there, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. The Lord said that I was to keep this as simple as possible, that this is a message everyone must understand. I'm making my words as plain as possible. Even a child can understand what I'm saying today. Verse number 4 says, my guilt overwhelms me. It is a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and stink because of my foolish sins. I am bent over and racked with pain. My days are filled with grief. A raging fever burns within me, and my health is broken. I am exhausted and completely crushed. My groans come from an anguished heart. This is David. He's in the fight of his life. He made some mistakes. And he feels crushed. He has a fever. His wounds are festering and they stink. And he wonders, how am I going to get through this? This is a picture of how many people in the body of Christ feel. There are some that have secret battles. It could be a battle of regret over past things. And it's just grabbed a hold of you. You can't go into your future because you're always thinking about your past. And the Lord says, let me cut the chains of your past. Those poor choices that you made. You've already asked me to forgive you, not forgive yourself. Some of the hardest forgiveness ever to obtain is forgiving yourself. You can say, God, forgive me. You can forgive others. You can have others forgive you. But forgiving yourself when you know that you did something that you wish you wouldn't have done, this can lead to this type of personal crisis. And the Lord wants you to know, I've stopped by Sayville today to let you know that you don't have to allow any more guilt or condemnation to overwhelm you, that your burden is not too heavy to bear because the Lord is going to carry it for you. He's already forgiven you. Hallelujah. Look down at verse 15. For I am waiting for you, O Lord. You must answer for me, O Lord my God. I prayed, don't let my enemies gloat over me or rejoice at my downfall. Some of you may be facing this. The enemies, those that don't like you very well, that you can just picture their faces and you can hear their conversations gloating over your personal trials and struggles. Maybe they're even family members. Maybe they're people in your workplace. Maybe they're people that you've known for years. And you can hear them talking about you. Look how they're struggling. They know that you're struggling with something and they're judging you over. And I want you to know something. The Lord doesn't judge you. Hallelujah. Wait patiently for the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 17. I am on the verge of collapse, facing constant pain. But I confess my sins, and I'm deeply sorry for what I have done. Look at verse 21. Do not abandon me, Lord. Do not stand at a distance, my God. Come quickly to help me, O Lord, my Savior. This is David crying out, Lord, come quickly. He was crying out for God. He was in a personal war. David was in a war. He was in a battle. And he cried out with all of his heart, don't abandon me, Lord. Do not stand at a distance, my God. Come quickly to help me, O Lord, my Savior. Let those be your words this very day. Lord, come quickly. Lord, come quickly. Look at chapter 69. Chapter 69 of Psalms. And it says, save me, O God, for the floodwaters are up to my neck. Deeper and deeper I sink into the mire. I can't find a foothold to stand on. I am in deep water, and the floods are overwhelming me. Does anybody ever feel that way? Like literally you're drowning in this life. I'm just being real today. I'm just being real. The more I travel, the more I meet people, the more I see this. People drowning. And they don't always tell you why they're drowning. There's some sort of private war that they're fighting, and they feel like they're drowning. I'm exhausted from crying for help. My throat is parched and dry. My eyes are swollen with weeping, waiting for my God to help me. As I couldn't sleep last night, I could hear the cries in Long Island. There are many outside of these four walls, and they're crying. Their eyes are swollen. Their throat is parched. They're in this battle, and they feel like no one understands. They've been going on this journey for so long, they think it's never going to end. They can't even imagine a time of peace that passes all understanding. They can't even imagine getting out of this battle, out of this war, and they feel just like David. They feel exhausted from crying, exhausted for asking for help, exhausted, their throat parched and dry, eyes swollen. Verse number 4 says, "Those who hate me without cause are more numerous than the hairs on my head. These enemies who seek to destroy me are doing so without cause. They attack me with lies, demanding that I give back what I didn't steal. Oh God, you know how foolish I am. My sins cannot be hidden from you. Don't let those who trust in you stumble because of me. Oh sovereign Lord Almighty, don't let me cause them to be humiliated. Oh God of Israel." So here we just see David just pouring out his heart. David's real. I like David. I like how real David is. I like real people. I like sincere people, people without pretense, people that don't fake it till they make it. David was real. He needed help, and he was crying out. Look down at verse 13. "But I keep right on praying to you, Lord." In spite of all this pain, what did David say that he was doing? "I keep on praying to you." He didn't give up. He didn't bury himself. He didn't hide away in his house like a hermit. He didn't drug himself up so bad that he would fall asleep. What did he do? He kept right on praying, hoping, "This is the time you will show me favor. In your unfailing love, O God, answer my prayer with your sure salvation. Pull me out of the mud." Oh, hallelujah. I get excited about this one. Some of you have been in the mud. And the Lord says, "I'm going to pull you out of the mud. You've been in a pit for so long. You've been battling and battling and fighting and fighting. You don't understand what's happening." And the Lord says, "Here comes my hand. I'm going to pull you out of the mud. You're not going to stay buried. You're above and not beneath. You're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. He's not forgotten you. Don't let me sink any deeper. Rescue me from those who hate me. Rescue me. Cry out to God in your distress. Rescue me, Lord." Hallelujah. "And pull me from these deep waters." Are you drowning? Let the Lord pull you from the deep waters. The deep waters of depression. The deep waters of dejection. The deep waters of a victim mentality. The deep waters. Verse 15, I love this. "Don't let the floods overwhelm me, or the deep waters swallow me, or the pit of death devour me." Oh, that let that be your heart cry in 2020. "Lord, the flood waters are not going to overwhelm me. The deep waters are not going to swallow me. The pit of death will not devour me. The pit of death will not devour my family." Hallelujah. "The deep waters will not swallow up my family. The deep waters will not overwhelm me." Why? Because you have Jesus on your side. Just a few more verses. Verse 16, "Answer my prayers, O Lord, for your unfailing love is wonderful. Turn and take care of me, for your mercy is so plentiful." Thank you, Jesus. "Don't hide from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in deep trouble. Come and rescue me. Free me from all of my enemies." Verse 29 says, "I am suffering and in pain, but rescue me, O God, by your saving power. Then I will praise God's name with singing, and I will honor him with thanksgiving, For this will please the Lord more than the sacrificing an ox or presenting a bull with its horns and hooves. The humble will see their God, and their work will be glad. Let all who seek God help live in joy. Thank you, Jesus. For the Lord hears the cries of his needy ones, and he does not despise his people who are oppressed. Let that be one of your promise verses when you're in the battle. In fact, my wife likes to put verses on our mirrors, on our cupboards. She puts little sticky notes all over the place. Let this be one of your sticky notes. Maybe you want something more fancy. Put some art on it and put it in a frame and hang it on your wall. Sticky notes is not your style. Go ahead and draw a nice cute little picture there and create a background that's nice. Hallelujah. Verse 34, praise him, O heaven and earth. See, all these verses, I'm giving it because it's like medicine to your soul. I'm doing far more scripture than I usually do. It's because I feel like it's medicine to your soul. It's spirit and life being imparted to you right now. You're being lifted higher and higher. We're all being lifted higher and higher. Praise him, O heaven and earth, the seas and all that move in them. For God will save Jerusalem and rebuild the towns of Judah. His people will live there. The Lord gave me this verse, and he said, I will rebuild my city. I will restore my city. I will rebuild my people. I will restore my people. Hallelujah. God will save your family like he did Jerusalem as you begin to praise him. Now, I said all of that to say this. What do you do when you're in the battle? What do you do when you're in the battle? What did David do while he was in the battle? Let me give you three verses, and then we're going to bring this plane down for a landing, and we're going to break some stuff. Hallelujah. What did David do? Psalms chapter 70, verse 4. When he was in the pit, when he was going through all this anxiety, what did David do? Psalms chapter 70, verse 4. Let God be magnified. Psalms 34, 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name forever. Hallelujah. That was Psalms 34, 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Psalms 40, verse 16. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, the Lord be magnified. Hallelujah. When you're going through the battle, the private battle that you can't even utter, that you can't even communicate, maybe you haven't even shared it or shared it fully with other people, I want you to know when you're in the thick of that battle, magnify the Lord. Do not magnify the battle. Satan comes and tells you, you're never going to get out of this. He gets you so beaten down, so discouraged, so full of doubt and fear that you feel like you're never going to break through. What do you need to do? Stand up and begin to magnify the Lord with your mouth. Begin to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Begin to lift him up above the battle, above the war. And this is what happens, Exodus 14, 14. And God will fight your battles, and you will hold your peace. You hold your peace because you know that you're not fighting the battle. It's God that's fighting the battle through you. You're magnifying Jesus. Therefore, Jesus says, I'll take care of this. What is that blockage? What is that private battle? Today, I want you to begin to magnify the Lord. Lift him up. Hallelujah. Lift him up. Magnify the Lord. Lord God, be magnified. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name forever. The Lord be magnified. Lord, be magnified above my fear. Lord, be magnified above my doubt. Lord, be magnified above this war. Lord, be magnified above this battle. That blockage that's been in me for so long. Lord, be magnified. Be magnified. Oh, lily of the valley, come with that bouquet of flowers. Come and bring life and life more abundantly to me, God. Be magnified in Sayville. Be magnified in Long Island. Be magnified in New York, oh God. I lift up your holy name, oh God. I lift you above, Lord, any fear, any doubt, any depression. Lord, that thing that's been within me, Lord, I magnify you above that thing. And the Lord wants you to know today that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. That means that demon of fear, he's going to bow. That demon of cancer is going to bow. Demon of poverty is going to bow. What is that anxiety that's within you? It's going to bow. That spirit of anxiety, it's taking its knee right now to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because I'm magnifying God above the situation. I'm not going down. God is lifting me up. I'm not beneath. I'm above, because God is lifting me. He is my God. He is my Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Lord God, be magnified. Lord, be magnified above all things, Lord, that we're facing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, be magnified, Jesus. Be magnified, Jesus. Be magnified, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you're in this place and you've been battling something, know that the Lord loves you so much that he woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning just for you. I wanted to give you a message on holiness, but the Lord says there's someone here that's listening to this message. And you've been in a pit for a while. You've been in this battle and you feel weak. You feel like there's a blockage. And the Lord says, I love you so much that I'm addressing this very thing. And so I want to pray with you.
Read.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. As I was sitting there and Steve was speaking,